Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. My name is Sandy James. It's good to meet you. I'm glad you've tuned in today. If this is the first time you listen to Breathing Room, I'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at breatheretreat.life. That link is down in the show notes. You should get into that and tell me where you are from and why you are listening today. But I am with a very good friend of mine, Jeff Lewis. He has been a great friend of mine for years and years, since my oldest was 7, and she is 28 right now. So nice. 21 years. Wow. We have been great friends, and we've been through a lot of life together. Amen. And I have never known a more amazing man of God than this man right here. His story is one of absolute restoration. I've never known anything like it. It blesses me every time I talk to him. It blesses me every time I see him perform. He is an amazing dancer and has danced all over the world and leads a team of dancers through the nations to bring the love of God to the people of God and to people that don't know God. This is a man you need to know, and that's why I brought him here today. He is amazing. Jeff, let me know, why is your life a story of restoration?
Oh, man. Sandy, thanks first for having me.
Sure.
And you know, I think first of all, that you call this breathe. I think our breath is so important, you know, in our words. And to be able to vocalize truth and led by the Spirit is so key, you know, and braiding Spirit and truth together, and our breath and what we have to say that is so important in these days. And so for you guys that are out there listening, hope that this will minister to your heart and understanding, have greater revelation that we serve a God that restores. And He does His work through us if we keep our eyes on Him and are faithful to press into Him in difficult times and have an ability to see the signs in a sense and gain the revelations by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer for sure. But I more than a dancer, I'm a worshiper. So, you know, instead of being a dancer who worships, I'm a worshiper who dances. And that's a revelation in itself. But I dance, and my roots were established in Michigan. And so I was a Motown boy, all these Motown singers, you know, we'd go down to Detroit and go dancing and put on, you know, back in the disco day where before hip hop even showed up, we were out there doing all the locking and the break dancing, and we ushered all that stuff in. But so I got a lot of rhythm, you know, from the Detroit area. But in my time of growing up, I was raised in a Catholic church and by two beautiful parents. I mean, loved the Lord and loved us and had a really set a standard in the house in a sense of Christianity. And out of that, you know, just growing like just anybody else and got to about, I think my 18 to 19 year old, 21 year old, I just got a little bit wild and did some stupid things. And you know, I went through the Catholic church and went through the whole process of communion and confirmation and all the different things that you do, but didn't really know Christ personally. And I think it was right when I was about 21 when my dad moved on to Texas, and the Michigan wasn't doing so good, you know, the economy. And my dad in the finance business went into Texas and brought the whole family with him, went to Texas, and just got, my mom was the spiritual seeker really of the family. And she kind of started was looking for something else, you know, the fire of the Spirit. And so she was involved in a kind of non-denominational Pentecostal type vibe a little bit and kind of drew the family in. And during that time, I had an opportunity to really understand a little bit better who I was in Christ and gave myself to the Lord. I really felt like that's when it happened, when I was about 21, where I gave my life to the Lord. And then there, you know, as we're all on a journey, we're all learning and growing throughout our journey. And, you know, I think I was about 26 when I really had an understanding of Christ more in a personal day, every day, not just on the weekend or just serving the Lord and so forth. But in that time, when I was about in my early 20s, I ended up marrying at a young age and having kids. And
you had a lot of them.
lots of kids. Yeah. So you know, we had 8 children and that's a whole story in itself. And we don't have time for all that. That's why I'm trying to keep moving here. But we had 8 kids and in that time, just growing in the Lord. But, you know, and God, you know, I had struggled in school academically. And so, but I got through high school and just, you know, had a passion for the arts and for dance. And my wife had a passion for me to have that passion. You know what I mean? She was like pushing me forward. I want you to do what you love. And I want you. And that was just a beautiful thing about Lisa. And she really wanted me to do what God had for me and my passion. So I kept seeking while I was doing construction and working many, many hours and finally found a full-time job as a dance director at an elite private school in Houston, Kincaid School. And it was just a miracle because it was, I mean, great pay. And it was such a wealthy school that the staff and the faculty there, they were allowed to study and the school would pay for it. You could go on grants. And I went to New York and studied in New York on a grant.
Wow.
I went to Rice University. I went to do some, you know, theater study in Rice University. So I did go to a little bit of college and I got 4 years at Kincaid School and really just was able to learn a lot about theater and dance that helped me, you know. But in that time, I was growing spiritually too and just gaining an awareness of, you know, this idea of having a personal relationship every single day, speaking to the Lord, having conversation with them moment by moment. And in that time, there was a moment, a turning point moment. You know, we have turning point moments in life, and sometimes they're struggles, but they're for a greater glory, and they're for God is doing a work in you. And I had a turning point moment where I had to leave Kincaid School, and this is where I broke my neck. Yeah, broke my neck for a second time, and it was really a major thing. And that's a whole, gosh, I don't want to be able to go into that right now.
I need you to take a pause just for a second and realize that this man just said he broke his neck for the second time. That is really part of his story. He's broken his neck twice and been healed both times.
Yeah.
And he dances like the greatest dancer I've ever known in my life. No. So please continue on. I just take note of that. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So God had put me in a place of being still and had, interestingly enough, I was dancing for a modern company in Texas and doing a lot of work, doing a lot of theater and so forth, and had to be still, be still. And God got me to a place where I was still and began to show me that there's more to my relationship than just here and there, but all constantly. That was that revelation of my daily relationship with Him. And out of that, the Holy Spirit had me open up a school for the arts in a sense. It was called Call to Glory. And it was, the idea was for Christian arts and to set ourselves apart and to do this. And so we did that. And that was a divine appointment. God, the way that came together was ridiculously amazing because God brought me in the book of Haggai. Soon I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. The desire of all nations will come. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. God had brought me there and teaching me about a latter-day house that I was called to be a part of building, which is about not about your own thing, but about the bigger picture, about seeing the house of God restored, seeing the bigger picture before for this latter-day glory. And so we're going to open up a school of the arts. And it was coming down to the last wire. We had a couple of locations that we were interested in. We had some backing from my family, and we were ready to sign a contract. And the day before that happened was a friend that I knew that was a Christian artist wanted to sell her studio to us. And it was like already intact and already had 150 students and already had this and already had that. And so it was a real divine appointment. But the thing that was really interesting was she called me on a Sunday morning, and I remember we were going to have to make a decision on a lease on Monday. She called me on a Sunday, and I get the phone, and she's interested in possibly selling, and I'm starting to shake because I was just in the book of Haggai, and it was July the 24th that she called, or July, I forget, it was July the 21st, I believe. But in the book of Haggai, the word comes to the Lord. The word of the Lord comes to the Lord on the seventh month of the 21st day. Oh. And so she called me on the day, wow, the same day that I was studying about, wow, the latter day glory, the latter house. And so this is, of course, this is a house that's restored and God's glory will shine upon it, you know. And so anyway, she calls me. And so I knew something was up. So I ended up buying that school. And it was successful. We ended up going from 150 to 300. And then I had a situation. I'm just going to keep moving fast because it's a long story. There's testimony and everything. The broken neck thing is in itself is just ridiculous how it connects with, uh-huh, some things. But God was bringing unity in my heart at that time. But anyways, moving forward. We are in this school and we're succeeding. And I had another woman come to me that had a whole nother school. And she was interested in selling her school to me. And so I was like, well, because she wanted that Christian heart, you know, the things that we were doing, she saw and we were growing and it was edifying to the body. And so she wanted to sell her school to us. And I couldn't do it. It was too expensive. And then she made me an offer I just couldn't refuse. And because she wanted to do this, I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I ended up buying her school and we went from 300 students to 500 students. And that's a great school. That's a lot of students, you know. And we started serving New York. Yeah. And so all this time, my wife and I, we, you know, God is growing us. He's showing us his presence and the hunger to be the example on the earth of God's kingdom purposes is desired in our hearts to be a family that no matter what, we're going to stay together. We're going to be that picture of a Christ-like family that will love like that and so forth. And everything seems to be moving forward. Well, that's the time in our testimony, in our life, when we went through a major shaking. We went through two major years of shaking. And it started shortly after we bought this school. And one of the things that what happened was we believed that we yoked ourselves unevenly with this other business, and that became a problem. And without going into deep testimony of that, we went through 2 years of major shaking. We ended up having Lisa's mom live with us for a year and a quarter. And she had cancer. And of course, Houston has a great cancer center. So she moved into our home. Well, that was just really challenging because the good, bad, and the ugly comes out. You know, sometimes family is the most difficult people, yeah, to minister to and to work with. So it was really difficult. A lot of things came out that were hard to see and hard, right, to deal with. And we were humbly serving her and doing what we could. And then the studio, we had problems at the studio and there was disagreements and we had owned this school. And all of a sudden, the old owner of the one that we purchased the studio from locked the doors on me and took over this school. And it was ours. And it was, so we had a major issue there, had major shaking going on. Of course, we knew we were righteous and what was happening to us was unrighteous. And so we went ahead and tried to pursue fighting for that. Okay. And there was just all kinds of things that were going on in this year. So we had our mother with us. We had this lawsuit that all of a sudden started. We had hundreds of people that knew me and were standing with us and in disagreement with what happened. Mm-hmm. There was a loophole in our contract with the facility. We moved into her facility because it was bigger than our facility and we were buying her place and we had 500 students and we needed the space. And in that we didn't sign a contract for her lease and she had the lease under her name. So she was able to lock the doors on us because she wasn't agreeing with what we were doing. Some of the parents from her place didn't understand how we would pray over seniors at the end of our recitals or do certain pray in class and do certain things. Or we were doing a piece about darkness and light was, you know, the battle of good and evil. And that was scary to some of the families. And so there was this, and then of course they didn't believe I was managing the company well, yada, yada, yada. So it was very difficult. So we were in a battle legally. In the midst of that, we're losing all of our money because we're paying this lawyer to, you know, all this stuff. And then comes Israel. Hang in there, guys, who's listening. Crazy testimony and not really the 30 minutes enough time to tell it, but we're going to move forward.
Here's the thing, Jeff, I need to interrupt you, because if we need to let this pull over to another one, we have time in the field, so go ahead.
Okay. So I'm just going to move forward. In these 2 years, it was just really difficult time. And God had called me to Israel 9 years prior to that, to be a part of the Feast of the Tabernacles by the ICEJ, International Christians Assembly in Jerusalem. Yeah, to be a part of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And we all know that the Bible says that this is to be continued on forever. And so that's what this Christian organization has a heart to do that in Israel. So I was offered a position there to do some things or choreograph and be a dancer and so forth, and wasn't able to come, felt like I was supposed to come, had a vision of myself being there and seeing God's glory revealed as I would have worshiped him in spirit and in truth, but wasn't able to do it until this coming year. In the midst of these 2 years, there was a call, you know, hey, we want you to come. And of course, we were losing money. Our electricity was being turned off. We were running out of funds because of this lawsuit. We were locked out of our business. We were, you know, we just set my mother-in-law home, and all this is going on, and we're trying to figure out. We had a van repossessed. And it's just turmoil, you know, it's just turmoil. We're just believing and trusting that God's going to shine through all this. And, you know, I told my wife, it's just not the time to go to Israel. The money's not here. And shortly after that, there was a moment near the end of this 2 years, just before we got the funds to go to Israel, that I got the funds to go to Israel. My wife had come to me, and this is the difficult moment. I don't know if maybe really I don't share all this, but I was in the midst of the shaking, the studio, my mother-in-law being with us, the good, bad, and the ugly coming out there and dealing with that, and lawsuits and losing things. And all of that is coming down right now on our family. My wife comes to me one night and she's broken. And I remember sitting in the car with her, and she's broken and she's crying. And she says, I have to tell you something. And she reveals to me, I don't even know if you know this, Sandy, but she reveals to me some really hard things that she's never shared with me before. Something that happened before we were married that has to do with me. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal. And then she reveals some financial things that I had no knowledge of. Mm-hmm. It was devastating. The things that was shared with me was devastating, because there were things that I am passionate about and never knew. And it was just like a crescendo moment of shaking. Mm-hmm. In the middle of that moment, in all her humility and all her vulnerability and being able to release this, because it's something she had to release off of her, mm-hmm. you know, it was like the Lord was like, you need to love her. Mm-hmm. You need to embrace her. Mm-hmm. And you need to stand with her. And I was, you know, in our relationship, I wasn't perfect either. And I would reveal I was accountable to her, and we were accountable to each other. But she shared some things that were heavy, and that was a really hard. And but in her humility, the Lord said to stand with her, stand, stay with her. And after that, there was some accountability now that I knew these things. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things happened after that were pertaining to some of the financial issues, and I held her accountable. And at one point I was ready to almost sever my relationship with my wife. And the Holy Spirit came over me one more time. Don't you dare ever tell her that or even do it. But the Father said, I want you to stand with her. And so there was a revelation that God said to stand. To stay with her and to see it through. None of us are perfect, and God wants us to embrace and forgive. And so I did, and I moved forward. And shortly after that, this is near the end of the 2 years, I have all of a sudden this money comes in, and I have the funds to go to Israel, and I have the amount to go there. And you know, Natalie is my wife right now, but my wife, Lisa, at the time, and myself, we sat down to each other and we said, okay, you should go to Israel. Mm-hmm. There's money to take care of our needs in this short amount of time. and you've been called, go. So I go to Israel. Okay, guys, I'm about to rattle off a lot of stuff really fast.
Okay, hold on one second. Let's take a brief moment for our beloved sponsor, and we will be right back to finish the story. This is amazing. Hold on.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110. Or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Okay, welcome back to Breathing Room. It's so good to see you here. We are glad to be telling you this amazing story. Who's relating to this out there? I am. We are all believing God for restoration. We are all believing God to love people when they're not lovable and to love people when they've not been faithful. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Israel, you get the money to go to Israel.
So I go to Israel and everything's stable at the house. I go to Israel. I'm in Israel. I'm a choreographer and dancer of this feast. And the very first devotion that we have devotions, we have worship time with the chorus and the staff. It's over hundreds of people. And we have these moments every single day. The very devotion, first devotion in Israel was, what are you going to release while you're here in Israel in order to see God's glory fall? And the story was a paperclip. And this woman did this devotion. He said, this man has a paperclip, and he gave the paperclip away and he gained something in return. And he kept giving it away, and he gained something too. Before he knew it, he ended up with this house because he was always giving this thing away. And she ends with she gives everybody a paperclip in the cast, and she says, put this somewhere as remembrance. What are you going to release here in Israel in order for God's glory to fall? And so, you know, we had a moment when we were choreographing, when we were on stage and rehearsing, and we were all on our face, weeping and crying out to God, you know, for his glory to fall. Yeah. One day before we were rehearsing in the En Gedi Desert, and I had my wedding ring on, of course, and I had a strong sense that I needed to keep my ring on for many years as a performer before I would take it off to perform. But once I had the revelation of the importance of it, I just would never take it off, ever. And we were in Israel, and we were rehearsing in the En Gedi Desert, and I was doing this major lift, and I twisted my ring finger. My ring finger had gotten swollen, black and blue, and it really swelled up, and everybody that saw it said, you need to cut your ring off or you're going to lose your finger. And in that time, I called my wife that night and said, what do you think I should do? And she says, well, gosh, Jeff, cut your ring off. You can always mend the ring. You know, your finger is more important than that right now. Just get the ring off and we'll have it repaired. And so I remember that night telling that was the night before she had passed. But I remember my wife telling her that, you know, I loved you. And that was the last thing I said. Thanks for, I'll do this tomorrow. Well, it was the next day that I went in and I had a friend who was able to cut my ring off. And when my ring was cut off and taken off my finger, I had seen a picture. The Holy Spirit, I believe it was the Holy Spirit at the time. At the time, I didn't believe it was the Holy, but I really believe now it was. And he says, you have to release your wife. When the ring came off, he said, you have to release your wife. And then I started to walk away from the guy that had done that. And I was going to the dressing rooms. And then I saw a car accident in my mind, and I rebuked the enemy. I bound him and cast him out because I didn't receive that. I saw my wife in a car accident. Well, it was that night when we were ministering. We ended up ministering and finishing up our ministry, and we went into the buses to go back to the hostels, and somebody came on the bus and said, they need Jeff Lewis. Jeff Lewis, you need to go in. And I just assumed that they needed me to minister, pray for people. Something was going on. And I went into a room, and there were all the leadership was in the room and some of my friends. And they told me that my wife had passed in a car accident. And I remember starting to cry, and I was bringing my hands to my face, and I saw my ring was gone. And the Holy Spirit said, you have to release your wife. And For the second time, he says you have to release your wife. And so I'm gonna move quite quickly. We're about out of time. But after that, I had to get home immediately. I was numb, emotions back and forth. And the next morning I got up and I'm outside the hostel. I'm with some good friends and they're taking me to the airport. And I looked down at my basket, my bag, and there was a paper clip on my backpack. And right as I saw the paper clip, there was a man walking up the hill and he had a rod and a staff in his hand and he was extending it and his torso was stretched out. He was getting his everyday exercise. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you have to release your wife in order to take your family into a whole nother level of my power and authority on this earth. Mm. And I had just been teaching that whole year to men all over the U.S., workshops about the rod of the authority of God and the power that men need to rise up.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, obviously we have to have another podcast. We cannot stop in here because I have a part of that story that I just need to mention when we start up again. But we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you right now. What are you having to give up? What are you having to give up to manifest the restoration of God in your life? What's happening with you? We're standing in agreement with you right now. We're going to pray for you right now, and we're going to intercede for you. Before we pray for you, I want to remind you that Breathe is coming up on April 24th in Oklahoma City. You do not want to miss it. These are the things that are released in that environment where we just set apart the entire day to seek the Lord and to cry out to Him. And you will not be the same after you come. So you can register on breatheretreat.live. Let us pray for you right now. Mm. Lord, we bless the people that are listening. We say you are not finished in the name of Jesus. You are not finished. That which would dissolve you as a believer, it'll only promote you in the name of Jesus. We declare that what you've experienced in loss, the restoration you're about to experience will be nothing like you just lost in the name of Jesus. We bless you. And we declare that we love you in Jesus' name. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.